Earl Bunting, president of the National Association of Manufacturers, recently challenged William Green, president of the American Federation of Labor, to a debate on the pending labor legislation. Mutual has made this period available in order that you may hear both the labor and management sides of this vital issue. And now, speaking from Washington, here is William Green, president of the American Federation of Labor.
I appreciate this opportunity of debating the pending anti-labor legislation with the president of the National Association of Manufacturers, because that organization, the NAM, is the real sponsor of the slave labor provisions in the Taft-Hartley bill. What is the NAM? It is an organization dominated by the most reactionary, labor-hating interests in America. In support of that charge, let me cite a few major black spots in the NAM's record. The NAM opposed the Child Labor Amendment because in taking children out of school and putting them to work in factories, certain employers can cut wage costs. Isn't that a noble position? The NAM opposed Social Security, bank deposit insurance, the Wage Hour Act, and the whole body of social justice legislation intended to make life a little better and safer for the great masses of the American people. Less than a year ago, the NAM promised that prices would be reduced if only price controls were killed, and then its members proceeded to make a killing at the expense of the American people. Today, the NAM opposes legislation to provide millions of new homes for veterans and workers, and instead it demands the abolition of rent control, a step which would subject every family living in a rented house or apartment to the mercies of profiteering landlords. This organization, the NAM, that has consistently fought in the past against every decent measure to protect the public welfare, and is still battling against such measures, now has the effrontery to claim that the anti-labor legislation, which it actively sponsors, will serve the public welfare. In view of the record, I think the American people have a right to view with suspicion anything that the NAM stands for. Mr. Bunting, the president of the NAM, has challenged me to answer two questions in this debate, and I am more than glad to do so. First, he asks, is one legitimate gain of labor denied in the proposed legislation? My dear Mr. Bunting, that question is almost childish. Congressman Hartley admits that his bill virtually repeals the National Labor Relations Act, which is labor's Magna Carta. Senator Taft admits that his bill has rewritten the National Labor Relations Act from beginning to end. These provisions alone distort and destroy the whole basis of free collective bargaining. For instance, Senator Taft's bill permits employers to say no and keep on saying no to all union proposals instead of requiring them to sit down and try to reach a friendly and cooperative agreement with the representatives of their workers. How could collective bargaining operate on such a basis? Further than that, the Taft-Hartley program is aimed at destroying union security. It opens the doors wide to a flood of damage suits in the courts against unions. This would make it impossible for them to function effectively. It provides for a return of government by injunction. That would compel free American citizens to work against their will for private employers or face imprisonment. If these and many other provisions do not destroy the legitimate and basic rights of labor, as well as its recent gains, I would like to know what would. Secondly, Mr. Bunting asks, do the proposals in this legislation serve the public welfare? Emphatically, they do not. Many years ago, Abraham Lincoln said, "Whatever hurts labor hurts the nation." That wise statement is just as true today. Everyone who works for a living is labor. Whatever hurts labor hurts them. The transparent attempt to separate the identity of labor and the public, which is fostered by the NAM's propaganda campaign, is designed to hoodwink the American people. Organized labor represents directly some 15 million union members and their families. Indirectly, it represents and speaks for another 45 million workers as yet unorganized. You can't hurt 60 million Americans with punitive legislation without striking a damaging blow against the public welfare. The whole purpose and intent of this legislation, regardless of the pious claims made for it, is to weaken the labor movement and make it impossible for unions to function. The effect would be to undermine and destroy the wage standards established by unions. In turn, this would force all wages down because union standards set the pace for all other workers. The result would be a slash in mass purchasing power and far lower production because people would not have the money to buy what they need. Factories would be forced to shut down and millions of workers would lose their jobs. If that happens, America would find itself buried deep in another disastrous depression. The Taft-Hartley bill paves the road to such a depression. Labor would not be the only one compelled to travel that road. Merchants, farmers, professional people, and the public as a whole would suffer. Mr. Bunting, in a speech on May 16th, said labor leaders insist no legislation is necessary. I challenge that statement. We have asked Congress to enact necessary and constructive laws, but Congress has failed to do anything about them. I am talking about laws to provide health insurance for the American people, to widen Social Security benefits, a higher minimum wage, and decent housing. Such laws are obviously in the public interest, but the National Association of Manufacturers bitterly oppose them. God help America when the NAM is to be the final judge of what constitutes the public welfare.
Thank you, William Green. And now, Earl Bunting, president of the National Association of Manufacturers, speaking from Chicago.
I think it makes no difference whether NAM favors the pending labor legislation or whether the AFL and the CIO oppose it. The single test of whether it should be passed and signed by the president is simply, is the proposal in the public interest? Does it meet fully the public's insistence expressed in numerous opinion polls upon corrective legislation that will end union abuses, establish equality between management and labor, and bring about real industrial harmony? The NAM says if the bill, which finally reaches the desk of the president, is not definitely in the public interest, the president should not sign it, regardless of who or what organization favors it. We even go farther. If the bill takes back one legitimate gain from labor, it should be vetoed. 2 weeks ago, AFL President William Green branded the legislation as a slave labor bill. I asked Mr. Green to show how a worker would be enslaved by a legislation that would give him the right to get a job, whether he belongs to a union or not, the right to select his own representatives to bargain collectively with his employer, the right to speak his own mind regarding his own welfare without fear of being kicked out of the union or fined or fired from his job, the right to know how the money he contributes to his union in the form of dues and fees is spent, the right to refuse to join a union strike that involves no dispute between himself and his employer, but which only involves a dispute between rival unions. the right to be free of the monopolistic power now held by a few union bosses through the devices of industry-wide bargaining, the closed shop, and the secondary boycott. In addition to these questions, further I ask, Mr. Green, is the protection of the life and limb of the worker against goon squads and union gangsters enslaving legislation? Is the right to be free of threats to his family and violence to his person in union matters enslaving the workers? Is it enslaving for the toiler to be assured that he can go to and from his work without threat or molestation? Is it enslaving in free America to give working men the same privileges other citizens have of supporting any candidate for public office they choose? Is it too much to ask that when the worker pays dues into a union, the union officers shall give a financial accounting of how they spend his money? And is it enslaving by the standards of our democracy for the union member to be assured of a secret ballot and honest elections in his union? Is it enslaving the worker to give him a chance to know what he is striking about before he is called upon to sacrifice his means of livelihood in striking? Such legislation will restore to the worker his full birthright of American citizenship and the protection of the common laws of the land. Rather than enslaving, such legislation means the emancipation of the workers of this country. Is it unfair or anti-labor to prohibit picketing unless a valid strike exists? Don't you think that employees who have voted no union should be protected from picketing to force unionization in spite of the vote? The NAM does not believe in outlawing strikes, but the right to strike should not be abused to enforce just any old demand or trifling grievance. And certainly the public needs protection from snap judgment strikes. The House bill outlaws such flagrant abuses of the strike privilege as sympathy strikes, jurisdictional strikes, and secondary boycotts. Is it unfair to prohibit a sympathy strike in a plant having no dispute for the purpose of forcing some other company to sign a contract? Is it unfair to protect an employer against jurisdictional strife between two unions, strikes over issues in which the employer has neither interest nor control? Is it anti-public or anti-labor to ban secondary boycotts which unfairly restrict commerce and deprive the public of needed goods and services and give unions control over what, where, and how goods shall be made, distributed, and used? Finally, and in a nutshell, isn't it in the public interest for Congress and the President to do everything if possible to help gain maximum production, the one real source of more goods for consumers at lower prices, the hope of the worker for higher wages and steadier jobs, and the nation's sure preventive of depression?
Thank you, Mr. Bunting. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard a debate on the subject of pending labor legislation between William Green, President of the American Federation of Labor, who spoke from Washington, and Mr. Earl Bunting, President of the National Association of Manufacturers and President of the O'Sullivan Rubber Corporation, who spoke from the Palmer House Hotel in Chicago. This program has been brought to you in the public interest. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.